Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 58 of Boston's Best. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guest on today's podcast is Chris Anteo. Chris is the founder of GnomeSurf. GnomeSurf is a 501c3 nonprofit surf therapy organization that focuses on creating a culture shift towards happiness, kindness, love, and acceptance for all kids' abilities, regardless of socioeconomic status. They accomplish this by providing life-changing surf therapy, art therapy, yoga, and ecotherapy experiences. Chris shares with us that his passion for surfing started at a young age at his parents' condo in Portugal. With undiagnosed ADHD, Chris found solitude in the ocean on a surfboard. There's something about being out in nature with no cell phones or distractions, where you can just be present and in the moment. He found a lot of peace and calm in the water. Surfing was more than just surfing to him, and he wanted to give this modality back to children. In this episode, we talk in depth about all the therapeutic benefits GnomeSurf offers to increase the confidence in our children. Chris had an 18-month-old that couldn't walk on land, stand up on a surfboard out in the water. The overall benefits of GnomeSurf are everywhere. Chris calls this surf magic. If you want to be a part of this magic, GnomeSurf has their surf camp next Sunday, September 10th. And be sure to listen to the end, as Chris shares advice he'd give to anyone looking to start their own business, what he would tell his 18-year-old self, and how he defines success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week, we have Chris Anteo. Chris is the founder of GnomeSurf, a nonprofit 501c3. How you doing, man?
How's it going?
Excited Excellent. To be here. Yeah, good to see you. Things are going well. I feel like people are just excited to get back outside. So,
yeah, so everyone should just come surfing.
It's a great idea. You know, so I've only surfed once in my life. My wife and I went to Hawaii on our honeymoon, and one of the islands that we went to, Maui, I took surfing lessons. I got to tell you, man, like I consider myself a pretty athletic person, but that is exhausting, especially if you don't know what you're doing and you spend your whole time paddling around to get to where you need to go. And then you get up for like 4 seconds, maybe the first time, and then you fall. Now you got to paddle all the way back to where you were before. Like it was exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear that a lot. And it's because most people pick the mecca of surfing to take their introductory lesson. It's probably not the smartest of things to do.
That's fair.
It's a little more mellow around here in Rhode Island, and it provides a great little space for people to learn, for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, I was in Maui. It's a little different. but so give us a little background before we get into GnomeSurf. Give us a little background on yourself. Are you from this area?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Fall River, Mass. But where my passion for surfing began is my parents own a condo in Lisbon, Portugal. And I spent my summers vacationing there. And that's where my passion for surfing really came to fruition. Yeah. I spent my summer surfing, and I grew up undiagnosed with ADHD. So I found a lot of peace and calm in the water. And I knew that surfing was more than just surfing for me. And I knew that someday I would like to deliver this type of modality to children.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Yeah, surfing, I mean, it's something about it. You're just out there in the ocean by yourself, whether you're with a friend or not. You're just in your element, right? Your phone's not going to be with you. You know, your phone, you know, so you just got that distractions away, and you can just like be in the moment and be present.
And that's exactly what surfing brings to you. It's much like yoga, right? You have to be present, or else you're not going to get up on a wave. If you're out there thinking about other things and whatnot, surfing is not going to come easy to you. So that's basically the premise behind what we do, is utilizing the therapeutic benefits of the ocean, as well as surfing as a sport, to increase happiness and self-confidence. And that's basically what we do. And we call our method of surfing surf therapy.
Surf therapy. Okay. When did you officially found GnomeSurf?
I started giving individual one-on-one lessons in 2015, but they were like friends and friends of friends. And one thing led to another. And we became an official nonprofit in 2019. Lo and behold, it's now 2021 and we're over 2,000 families deep and growing. Wow. Families are coming from as far as New York, Philadelphia, even in Canada, Texas. So it's pretty wild what's happening.
Wow. How do you think you've been? I mean, 2 years, that's a lot in just 2 years, especially, I mean, you know, COVID for like the last 18 months. Like, how have you been able to grow it so big, so quick?
Basically, the approach that we take, it's not really me. It's the kids, the story that they're telling out there, right? A lot of our athletes can't partake in your prototypical basketball or soccer. And the parents feel really like they don't have a place for their child. And once they meet us at Gnome Surf and they see what happens out there, their child really starts to gain that happiness, that self-confidence. They start to see themselves as an athlete, and they take that persona on of a surfer, and that confidence spills into their lives. And just by seeing that story and the parents posting on social media, the pictures, it's one child leads to three children. And then that one child from that group leads to another three. So it just spiders out. We haven't spent $1 on advertising at all. Wow. And we have trouble keeping up with the demand. So a good problem to have. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
But that is a struggle.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the word athlete, because water is such a good form of exercise. And I think it's completely underutilized. You know, going back to like 5-6 years ago, I hurt my back at the gym. And like my training partner was like, let's just go to the YMCA and just go swimming. I was like, sure. Like, that's not difficult. I've swam, but I can swim. And it was a 50 meter, you know, back and forth. And I was gassed after probably like 6 or 7 runs, like not even, probably just a couple of runs. I was absolutely gassed. And it's like, it brings you just a whole new perception on how incredibly athletic, you know, people in the water really are.
Yeah, and that's in a pool where the water is still. Now imagine throwing a board, the element of standing on it, and the element of waves. To say the word gassed is an understatement for sure.
Yeah. No, for sure. And it's really good to get kids into this because, I mean, you know, like I said, I played a bunch of sports growing up, but I definitely played a lot of video games growing up too. And, you know, like it gets kids out of that element of just sitting in front of a TV. They have phones in their hands now that are basically computers that call people, right? And then they get, you know, people make jokes that kids go from their phones, or even adults too, they go from their phones during the day to their laptops in front of them you know, during the work hours, and then at night they're in front of the TV. Like, they literally just get a bigger screen all day long. And getting them out of that for at least even an hour, a couple hours, whatever it may be, and into the elements of doing something outside of that is going to be huge for just mental health too.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not just out here saying this is surf therapy, right? We've been doing research now for 3 years. And but in conjunction with the International Surf Therapy Organization, which we are global contributors to, what we found in our first few years is that over 98% of our athletes are feeling happier. Over 93% of them are feeling more self-confident. 100% of them would try it again. And 100% of the parents would recommend it. So that's the power in what we do. Yeah. And we knew that people were going to be like, hey, what is surf therapy? So we made it a point to do the research from day one. And the numbers speak for themselves. The testimonials speak for themselves. The smiles on the kids' face speak for themselves. So that's what makes it what I coined magic on the water.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like magic on the water. I like that. What was that moment where you decided to just finally start it? You know, like, was there like an aha moment or something that led you to that moment?
Literally. I mean, I've always loved surfing. I've been just a real like down to earth guy. I was living in my screen porch at my historic colonial, taking showers outside the whole nine in 2015. And the idea just came to me. I knew that what it did for me in my life and the happiness it created and the self-confidence it created, I said, I need to give this gift to kids. And lo and behold, I even asked like three of my friends at the time, hey, you want to start this surf school with me? And then all of them were like, are you crazy? Don't you have like in New England?
Yeah, right?
Don't you have a busy life? And I was like, yeah, but this is real cool. None of them hopped on board. So I was left to do it alone. But lo and behold, it's been truly magical. And everyone's always like, oh, it's so amazing what you do for these kids in their lives. And And what they're missing is what these kids do for me in my life. And that's the other true benefit of surf therapy. It's not just what we're doing for them. It's the kids do a lot for the instructors, the volunteers. Everyone feels that high and leaves that beach on that high for days to come.
Yeah.
So in that respect, it's made my job really easy because surfing is just super cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, what kind of an impact have the kids had on you over the last couple of years?
Man, they've changed my life completely. I mean, I'm completely obsessed with them and this program. I work as a full-time banker as well, but my true passion is here with these kids. And it's helped me with my mental health. It's helped me with my physical health. It's just helped me become a kinder person, more altruistic, compassionate. They've just molded my being, so to say.
Yeah, I think you mentioned mental health. I think I love the shift and the focus that's been on mental health over the last few years. I think it's been a very big shift lately. And I think people, like even myself, maybe just because I'm more into, like my wife and I have taken on yoga over the last year, really just enjoy it. Put the phones away, just in the zone for the hour and just focusing on that and just, you know, focusing on the overall mental health. We leave there, we feel so good. So I just appreciate people that are really focusing on that type of mental health. Because I think it's been a long time coming. I think I've noticed a shift, at least, you know, around myself and my life with the whole mental health atmosphere.
Oh yeah. And gratefully, because it was this like little thing that no one really spoke about and you went through it in your own way. And that's not okay, because that's where you find solace and peace is interacting with other people and doing activities. You know, there's no better modality, in my opinion. And I've been through my own struggles as a young adult and you know, saw the therapist and all that. And nothing, I'm not just saying this because I founded the surf therapy program. Nothing really affected me in such a positive manner as just grabbing some waves and being with myself and overcoming certain struggles out in the water that I could, you know, relate to my everyday life.
Yeah.
And that's what surf therapy is, right? We're teaching these kids how to surf, but we're really teaching them how to fall off the board and get back on and ride the wave and feel that happiness. So there's a lot of different ways in which you learn out there surfing, but you can adapt that to overcome your everyday struggles in life.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You mentioned yoga, you mentioned surfing. So it's not just surf out there, right? So like what else do you provide for the people that come through Gnome Surf?
We have yoga, we have arts and culture activities, we have surf fitness. We also are building a wellness camp in Costa Rica in a blue zone. A blue zone? There's five of them in the world, and it's where people live happier, healthier, and longer. So we're building a wellness getaway so we can take families locally out to Costa Rica for a week and just get that, you know, bonding experience with nature, the ocean, surfing, yoga. Yeah, I mean, we're quite busy, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, so, and you said you're a full-time banker too. How do you manage your calendar with the never-ending demands?
I literally don't have a life during the summer. I work 24/7. I wake up at 7. I answer some emails. I get to my day job and work till about 4. And then I hop in the water and surf. And then after I surf, I answer some Gnome Surf emails at night and repeat, you know, for 5 months, 5 to 6 months. So, and that's okay, because the surfing part is my therapy. It's what I love. Yeah. I just wish I didn't have to do all the corporate stuff sometimes.
I hear you. I can understand that. So
like every other human wants to collect the paycheck and not really work, right? So
right. I mean, that's the American dream right there.
Yeah, it is. It is too.
So you just brought up a point that somehow I didn't even think of, right? Like we're in New England, so you can't do surfing year round, right? So like what months? You said what, 5 months, 6 months?
Yeah, we start like May 15th, we go through October 15th.
Okay, that's not too bad. So you ever have plans outside of, so you mentioned Costa Rica, you ever have plans of doing something that is more year round or anything like that? Or is that just kind of like too big to?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're trying to accomplish with Costa Rica, right? We are year round, right? But
yes,
the families have to get away and visit us in Central America, or my eventual goals is to build a few of them all over the world. So there's a choice as to where you'd like to go. But I mean, it's like this, and even in California, right? There's some larger surf therapy programs that are traveling organizations, event-based, not quite what we do, throw on a one-time event, and then kids come to it, and so on and so forth. But they're operating generally pretty much from, you know, May through latest November.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're getting one more time being in warmer climate, because once the winter comes, the waves kick up a little bit, and it's you know, it's a little bit tougher to teach kids how to surf.
Yeah.
So that's why we're transitioning, going to Costa Rica, is to give them that, you know, rainforest experience, horseback riding, zip lining, surfing. We happen to own right by one of the most important beaches in the world for Olive Ridley sea turtles. So they get to see the mamas, you know, lay their eggs and the babies hatch. So there's just a lot of like awesome eco therapy that can be done there in Costa Rica due to their biodiversity. So we're trying to kind of build that up. Also throughout the winter, we'll have surf fitness. So like preseason, so like land techniques that they do, which kind of mirrors yoga. In my opinion, surfing and yoga are intertwined, except one happens on the board balancing in the water.
Yeah.
And the other one happens on land, but the same techniques are the same. And we'll also offer yoga, and we offer art therapy as well. So we're constantly going. It's just that we turn our focus to surfing from May 15th to October 15th.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so yeah, so you're operating in those other 7 months as well.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Got it. And so what's involved with the art therapy? Is it drawing? Is it canvas? Like
anything really. I mean, we have a few things that we do. We have like a live art event that we do, and we invite artists and our kids to compete against each other and create whatever they want. We don't give them any sort of guidelines. We leave the medium open. And, you know, we've saw a tattoo artist come once and tattoo a fake hand. What else? I mean, sculptures and
no way.
So on and so forth. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And the artists help build my organization. I call them artivists. So we partner them up with our athletes to create either t-shirt designs or products or, you know, branding to help build our brand. And I think that's why we stand out and it looks different. It looks cool because it's guided by that, you know, creative mind.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool. So that's okay. So art therapy, it's not like the Muse paint bar where people are given like a paint by number type of thing and you just follow in like an artist and do what they do. It's just open architecture. People can do whatever they want.
Yeah. For instance, we have a line called the Joey, and it's our tie dye line. And it's a 7-year-old child that does all the tie dye on sweatshirts. So it's like buying a piece of artwork. And we're just trying to tell that story, you know, trying to partner them with an artist and help teach them the, not just the art part of it, but the economics and all of that, and trying to take our kids from here to here is basically what we're always trying to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Is there a specific age range that you focus on? Is it anyone and everyone that's interested? Or
it's anyone and everyone. I've surfed with kids as young as 18 months.
What?
Can't walk, have feeding tubes, the whole nine. And you'd be surprised what you see them do out on the surfboard.
Wow.
They can't stand on regular land by themselves, but I just give them a little nudge and they're literally propping up with their own feet on the board. And the parents don't believe it. They just think I'm some superhuman that can lay on his stomach and pick up a child like that. But no, the kid is assisting me out there. The kid is feeling it. And you can see it on the smile on his face, because what he's asking his body to do is reacting in the water, where on land, it can be a little bit different for him. So there's a lot that just comes through there. It's not just surfing, right?
They're finding their
inner confidence and self-esteem. And that's what surf therapy really is.
Dude, that's wild.
Yep.
Like that 18-month-old that can't walk on land, but can get up with a little assistance.
I have kids who can't stand regularly on land. When we get them out in the water, they're balancing on the board. They're surfing. Land doesn't give. The ocean does. So maybe that's where it is. But I also think it's magic. And I feel like there's some, you know, divine powers out there with me also assisting. So it's just, that's why I call it magic. Because there's things out there that happen that we truly can't explain, but you feel it. And and that's truly what Nolan Surf brings to our families.
Wow. I'm like blown away. That's wild to me. that just made me think of just mindset in general too. Like if you're constantly being told like you can't stand up on land, you try something different and all of a sudden something works for you. Like, I feel like that's just like a mindset shift. Like, okay, like I can do this. And like, that just kind of shifts your entire perception on so many things that going forward and the benefits that they, that can have after.
Yeah. They used to, you know, parents, like the parents of our children are like superhuman parents. So it's not that they didn't sign their kid up for the basketball team or the baseball right. team or the soccer team, right? They did, but that child gets lost because you need that individual attention there. And, you know, they may not be as successful on that team sport, so to say, and then they show up to surfing, which is supposed to be harder in general, right? But it does have that air of coolness, in my opinion. And I'm you know, maybe biased, right? But I definitely think it's cooler than, say, baseball.
Yeah.
And they start to become an athlete where they've been like told that they couldn't do things a lot. Right. And now they're riding the waves. We have people on the beach clapping. So it's like they have fans, they have an audience, and they become their own little athletes. And that that spills into their everyday life and confidence and self-esteem. And it shows.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild, man. Yeah. I was the baseball kid growing up. That was my sport.
Yeah, me too. I played baseball too, but I also surfed, and that's how I knew that surfing was much cooler. I'm not digging baseball, basketball, soccer, football, none of those, right? I played them all. I love them, but there's just something special about surfing. It's the only sport in the world where the earth is taking you and moving you.
Yeah.
Right. So there's that flow with the ocean. There's that energy that's coming through you. So surfing is not just a sport, and I'll continue to say that. And most people will look at me with their eyes sideways until they try.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. Like surfing is just way cooler than baseball, right? Like you're just sitting in left field, like waiting for the ball to come to you. You got kids like catching like butterflies and like,
it's basic economics, right?
Yeah.
There's people that don't surf, but you look out there in public and like there's people wearing Hurley, there's people wearing Billabong, there's people wearing surf gear, right? Not surfers, you know?
Yep.
So people are just enamored with surfing and for very, you know, right reasons. It is something that stands apart and is different. So.
Yeah. No, that's cool, man. Is there a meaning behind Gnome Surf? Like, how'd you come up with the name for that?
Honestly, everyone asks me this question. I got to tell them the same story. Nothing too interesting other than the fact that I was in Belgium on a bachelor party. It's not this crazy bachelor party. It was my best friend and his three brothers. We were just, you know, traveling through Europe.
Yeah.
And I had come up with this name like a week prior. And then while I was out on the bachelor party in Europe, I was like, what am I going to call this school? And I was in Bruges, Belgium, which is this like, you know, quaint, nice town filled with waterways and whatnot. And I walked into this antique shop and there was just this gnome, you know, giving me the thumbs up, looking up at me. And I was like, there you are. That's the name. And I bought him. And when we started, we used to take selfies with the gnome after we surfed. And that's how it, you know, built. And it's benefited me because gnomes have given this explosion within the last 3 years too. They're everywhere. So every time someone sees a gnome that's not related to Gnome Surf, they take a picture and send it over to me and be like, hey,
that's pretty cool.
So it has a level of marketing for me that, you know, is nothing through my own doing. So
yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. Like that's the cool thing about social media these days. One, it's free, right? And then two, like stuff like that, like people will just send it to you or they'll post it and they'll tag you. Like you just get like this automatic marketing and advertising without putting a dime into it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And like I said, we haven't spent a dollar of advertising money. So this thing's just growing quicker than we can keep up at times. And I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah. I mean, so how many people do you have working at Gnome Surf now?
Well, we have, for instance, 2 years ago, we started with one instructor in the water, and that was myself for individual one-on-one lessons. And now this season, we're at nine. We have about, then we're at three different beaches as well, South Shore Beach in Little Compton, Horseneck Beach in Westport, Mass., and Second Beach in Newport, Rhode Island. And we have roughly out of a collective group of about, I'd say, anywhere from 75 to 100 volunteers that 25 to 30 of them will show up on any given Sunday to assist us at what we coin Happy Camp, which is a one-night camp that's free for kids, usually putting in conjunction with another corporate sponsor or a nonprofit, in which 20 families or so will come on in and we'll do surf therapy, yoga, art therapy, sandcastle wow. building, small socials, and then an award ceremony at the end. And they can be up to 100 people on the beach with the surfers, the volunteers, the surf instructors, the families. And it's just like one big beach party. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Horseneck is the beach. Horseneck and Nantasket are the two. I grew up in the South Shore. Those are like the two beaches that I grew up going to.
They usually go to. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like 30, 40 minutes from where I was. So I'm familiar with Horseneck. That's awesome, man. So I guess last year, right? Like, you know, COVID had an impact on certain industries. It didn't on others. Like, I'm curious about how it affected Gnome Surf, because like you are outside. Right. Like, so I don't know the timing of what was allowed or whatever, but like, did it have an impact on you last year?
So most of the surf therapy programs around the world shut down, and we made the conscious effort to put in a strict protocol for COVID with, people thought we were crazy when we were saying we're going to mask our surfers, not the children. We didn't require the children to wear masks out in the water, but all our instructors had to wear masks in the water. We had to sanitize our hands. We had to sanitize the boards in between each individual athlete. We kept social distance when possible, unless that became a risk to the child's safety. And we executed and awesome. We grew. We did over 800 sessions during COVID, and we did not have one case of a COVID outbreak.
That's amazing.
So I'm super proud of that, because when everyone else were forced to shut down because of either being indoors or not having the appropriate capabilities of operating safely, our children and adults were left with a place. They didn't have a place to go in the summer. Right. We stood strong there with them, and super happy that we did. Because we grew and really, truly made that impact well known.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge, right? Because, I mean, not one COVID outbreak. And like, because you just have to have all this extra attention to detail that, you know, you're not used to focusing on, that now you have to. And like, God forbid, like you forget one time and something happens. Like, so that's a lot of extra attention to detail. So kudos to you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was quite a stressful summer for sure. Yeah. But I'm glad we got through that. In 2020 and this year, it's lo and behold, still going strong with not having to go backwards like some other states. So we're hoping we can stay on that positive trajectory. I mean, we have at any given day up to 30 athletes in the water for a small nonprofit, which is
that's phenomenal.
Is huge, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, man. What's the biggest amount of like people that you've had in like any like one day outing or anything like that?
The largest number we have is roughly around 40 something in one day. Then there was a camp and individual lessons. So, which is a lot, because surf lessons, they're not the easiest thing to do. It takes a toll on our bodies. It's very physical. I've lost 35 pounds already this season, and I'm not dieting. When I say I'm not dieting, like if I want to eat, I'm eating. And that's what surfing does. Like I'm eating my fridge out at, you know, but it's so physically demanding from an instructor standpoint that you just shed the pounds.
Yeah. I mean, you're constantly doing something. Like even if you're standing in the water, you get the waves coming, you're battling the waves. Like it's constant.
It's a exercise. Constant core workout.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So any upcoming events or anything like that you got going on?
Yeah, we have the surf camp with Commonwealth Financial Group, which I'm pretty excited about. We also have a clam bake fundraiser on August 28th as well, which I'm also very excited about, and a variety of other surf camps every Sunday as well.
That's awesome. So what's involved in the surf camp overall? Like how many people are you expecting? Is it at all those beaches? Is it just at like the one beach?
We primarily operate our surf camps out of South Shore Beach in Little Compton because of the layout and the landscape. Right. Like parents can come and they park like literally right on the beach.
Yeah.
A short walk over to where our activities are going on. We'll have art. We'll have yoga. There's a barbecue going on that day. We'll have a small social award ceremony. And then obviously the surf therapy. So we expect anywhere from 20 to 25 families, anywhere from 25 to 30 volunteers, And then that's about 100 and something people on the beach after you're all said and done. So it's a pretty magical night.
Yeah. That's all. How is it? Is it all day thing? Like how, what's the time frame on it?
It's usually from 5 to 8 at night. So it's like a night camp.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. And then you mentioned the clam bake. What's involved in the clam bake on August 28th?
It's a clam bake. It's a fundraiser. We'll have activities there, and it's kind of just an introduction to Nome Surf. Yep. We were actually top 8 things to do in the South Coast by South Coast Almanac for the month of August. So I'm hoping that we get to see a lot of people there as well.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So what do you see for the future of Nome Surf, right? Like, I mean, you mentioned Costa Rica, you mentioned, you know, other parts of the country. Like, what do you see? You're only 2 years in, so you're super young.
Yeah. My next step here, Costa Rica is going to be done this year. And then we'll start we've already taken 3 families out there, but we've rented from other resorts, so on and so forth. So I see that growing through the winter. Next year, I would like to, hopefully, if we can get some more corporate sponsors and major donors, is build what I call glam camp. A lot of our families are coming from New York, Boston. I mean, it takes them at least an hour to get to us, if not up to 6 hours. And people are making that trek.
Damn.
Is building a local camp, glamping style that does have beds, does have AC, but built like a Nome village in the forest, on the beach, close to the beach, where families can come and build friendships, build that sense of community, you know, interact with families and kids going through the same struggles as them, but not have to feel so isolated and alone like they report to us. And I just truly want to give that to our families. And I'm obsessed with these kids and wanting to help them. And I won't rest until that happens. And then after that, it's just continually spider up and down the coast. I'd like to get to Nantasket, like you mentioned before.
Yeah.
I'd like to get to Narragansett next. Yeah. So those will be our next 2 expansion. And then we'll keep going from there. But I don't want to do it too quickly because I don't want to water down the quality of service.
Yeah.
It's very important to me. So there's a very fine line that we need to walk there. And we're learning how to fly the plane as we go, so to say.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Some people try to grow too fast, too quick. They focus on spreading out everywhere. But if you spread yourself too thin, man, like you mentioned, the quality goes down and then eventually you're just not going to have a product anymore. Right. So like you got to focus on just do it. I mean, you're only 2 years. Like we're talking like you're like 10 years in already and you've grown like so big, like you're only 2 years and you can grow just, you know, periodically, just a little at a time. It seems inevitable.
Yeah, this thing is a beast.
Yeah.
I've been telling my board members since day one, and even then they believe very much in this program, but even that they were like, all right, Chris, anyway, settle down. And now they're like, wow.
Yeah.
So, and it's only going to get more and more intense. Like we're just babies. Like people don't know us yet. And, the people that do sing our praises. So you got to create raving fans of your clients. And that's what we're doing. Like they're leaving being like, that was awesome. And that's what's going to serve us well into the future.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Because like, you know, anybody listening, I hadn't heard of Nome Surf until, you know, our mutual friends, Jeff and Judy, introduced us to each other. Like, and once I heard about it, I'm like, this thing is so cool. Like, let me reach out. And I'll do my part to promote you on here.
Yeah. And most people like, you know, they've heard of surf lessons, right?
Yeah.
We're not surf lessons. I mean, we teach you how to surf, but we do it backwards. Number one, we get you up and riding so you know what it feels like. And then we teach you the basics.
Okay.
But we focus in on the physical and mental health benefits of surfing, as well as the emotional well-being, instead of like trying to teach you to become a pro. We're trying to teach you how to utilize surfing as a tool to deal with your everyday struggles in life.
Yeah.
And that's the real benefit, where people are coming to us once a week rather than being one and done after one lesson.
Right.
So that's where we stand apart. And that's the value that we bring to our kids and families and athletes.
Yeah, no, I think that's a smart way to go about it, too, because, I mean, let's be honest, like anybody become. Yeah. Like when I did it in Maui for that like 1 hour, maybe 90 minutes. I was like, I'm going to be awesome by the time I get out of here. Like my mindset initially was like, I got to be so good at this. I'm going to be, and it's like, dude, like I ain't going to be like a professional surfer. Like
99.9% of us aren't going to be
higher than that. Yeah.
Surfers, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm super blessed technically I get paid to surf, so I am a professional surfer. But I don't have the Hurley sponsorship yet, but I do have some other corporate sponsors, which is pretty cool. But yeah, like 99.9% of us aren't going to be pros. So surfing has a very deep value in you know, proper mental health and physical health and emotional well-being. And that's what we're teaching.
Yeah, there's way more to it. I like the way you go about that. So like, this may sound like an odd question, I guess, but you know, you do this, you're also a full-time banker. Like, do you ever picture, and you're still a young guy, like, do you ever picture yourself completely 100% retiring? Or like, maybe like the banking turns into like more involved with the Gnome Surf long-term type of thing? Like, what do you see?
I have to eventually figure out how to be Gnome Surf full-time. It's just too fast. I work for a wonderful company right now, and I don't plan on leaving them soon, but which they allow me to truly spread my wings here and help these children. But eventually, yes, I'm going to have to be the full-time Gnome chief in charge.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? No, I don't. This is going to be my life, and I'm going to be surfing with kids till I die.
Yeah, no, that's all. And it's such a cliche saying, but you know, if you're doing something you love, people don't really count it as work. And like, you know, you get, like you said, you get basically paid to surf, which is, I mean, if you love surfing, that's pretty damn cool, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm already living my best life. It's just, I need to figure out how to make it less stressful.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So like, I don't know if you have extra time, but is there anything you do outside of Gnome Surf, like any hobbies you enjoy doing outside of that, or is it all wrapped up into everything?
Yeah, I mean, I love to snowboard. I'm an avid snowboarder as well, but the rest of my time is pretty much taken up either surfing or just, you know, working on the corporate side of Gnome and you know, gathering funding and corporate sponsors, because we do need help. We do need the money. So I'm hoping that more and more corporate sponsors will want to come on board and help facilitate all the magic that we're creating out there in the water for the families.
Yeah, no, fair enough. You had mentioned a couple countries throughout this conversation. Like, what's like the favorite country or city that you visited outside of US?
I mean, I love Lisbon because that's where I kind of like learned how to surf. But my favorite country is Costa Rica. People say once you visit Costa Rica, you don't have to go anywhere else in the world. And I will confirm that.
Really?
For anybody watching here. Yeah. I mean, you got the rainforest, you got beaches, you got everything. It's so biodiverse there. And it's the country that has the most, you know, different amount of species and wildlife. And it has this sense of pura vida, like they say, like the people live there. Right. And it's about living that pure life. And it's the one place I visited where I go on vacation and I truly feel re-energized and come back like I just went on vacation. So I'd say Costa Rica hands down, and I'm not the only one, since they're probably one of the top destination to visit post-COVID here. So pretty excited to have our surf camp there.
Yeah, that's pretty damn cool. I gotta be honest, that Costa Rica, for whatever reason, like as far as list of countries to visit, I don't know why, it's never really crossed my mind, but that's a pretty good endorsement. My wife and I have to put it down
on the list, because once you go there, especially if you're, you know, an active person and you like the outdoors and you like nature, there's not going to be a better place on earth for you.
All right. Good enough. How far of a flight is that?
It's roughly about 4 to 5 hours. It depends if you take direct or if you stop in Dallas or Miami, or Charlotte even. It's a pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad at all. All right. So last few questions before we wrap it up. What advice would you give to somebody who's looking to either start their own business, start their own nonprofit, really just like start something on their own? Like maybe like an early challenge that you faced that, you know, would be great advice. Anything?
My greatest advice is don't focus in on the numbers. Don't focus in on success at first. Focus in on the work. Focus in on the service. Focus in on the quality of the product you're delivering. And just do it and do it well. And if you love it, everything else is going to take care of itself. And that's very hard to sit there and believe that statement, because you're watching your bank account go down. But it will pay off dividends in the end if you just focus in on that quality and attention and passion for what you love and do. Everything's going to pay off in the end. And this is happening for Gnome Surf. And we're one of the top surf therapy programs in the world. And we're doing it out of New England.
Yeah.
So I know, right? keep that in mind. Yeah. So that's tough, but stay strong, stay passionate, and believe in yourself. And that's the best thing that you can do.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good accomplishment. Like, you're in New England, like you don't have 12 months of ocean that you can really surf in. So
now, people are like, hey, you can surf in Rhode Island. I'm like, yeah, there's an ocean and there's waves. So you can do it.
So yeah, it's just not as common around New England.
It's just that people don't realize that, you know, people don't know it because the surf culture is not, you know, promoted or built around here, but we're here to change that, especially for our neurodivergent athletes.
That's awesome. If you could tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell him?
Stop gnome surf earlier.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Would have saved me a lot of stress in my life from the financial industry. But don't stress so much, you know, don't we have these new wave bracelets here, right? Yeah. We're calling life's waves. You got to learn how to ride it. You can't take the highs too high. You can't take the lows too low. You just got to stay even keel on that wave never let the disappointments disappoint you too much, and never let the accomplishments make you arrogant, and stay even keel and just keep riding that wave.
Love it. No, I think that's a great point, because I think kids these days, everyone's just consumed in social media and their phones, that like it's easy to become stressed out over something because you're just seeing everyone else's highlight reels all day long instead of just living your life and just being out doing what it is that you love doing. You're just sitting there scrolling instead. So I think that's a really good point. All right, Chris, last question. I've asked every guest on Boston's Best this, so I'd love to hear your answer. Everyone has a varying depiction of what success looks like to them. So how do you define success?
Impact on the people who you serve, how you change their lives is what success means to me. You got to be compassionate of those around you, and how you impact the lives of those you deal with is the true meaning of success. The legacy that you leave after you leave this earth is what success means.
That's all. I think that's a phenomenal answer. Couldn't agree more. We're gonna leave it on that note, because that's a great note to leave it on. Chris, thank you very much for coming on Boston's Best to chat Gnome Surf. Appreciate the time, and looking forward to this episode coming out.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.